Good morning. The title of my message today is, Who is this God? And we're going to be looking at portions from the book of Isaiah and also Zechariah. But before we get into the scripture lesson today, I just want to mention a few things. When I was here in January for my son-in-law's funeral, I heard several speakers that encouraged my heart so much during that time. The first message I heard was from Salim, and the message couldn't have been more timely because he told us, live today. And Martha and I held on to that day. The next day, Pastor Chuck stood by the graveside and strength and humility, and we drew from him as he gave us hope for the future from the scripture. It's wonderful, wonderful. And the next Shabbat, Christine spoke about the miracle God of the Bible, which built our faith up so much. Randy gave us the hope of the resurrection. I don't know if all of these speakers are here. They're out traveling today. Chris talked about the veil. Tremendous message. I came back just a month ago, and the first message I heard was from Claire. Too many Marys. I had never heard a message like that. I'll never forget it. The messages I've been getting here have just been so wonderful. Homer preached from a passage out of Isaiah also that I'm going to be getting into today. He challenged us that God is doing a new thing. Told us about the people coming from China to Jerusalem. And then last week, John gave us a wonderful message on love. So I'm just kind of quickly reviewing some of these things. I certainly have to take a moment to thank Chuck and Liz and the church for their outpour of love for Martha and her five children. The love this church has expressed is a powerful testimony of God's people coming to the aid of somebody who's been deeply wounded. It's been like oil in a wound, like the balm of Gilead after the passing of her husband, Philip Berg. Out in the courtyard, the church has built, what do you call that? Gazebo in Philip's memory. A couple more thoughts. God has blessed me with five daughters. All of them have been orphaned since my wife's going to be with the Lord 12 and a half years ago. They kind of grew up with no names. Because everywhere we traveled, people would say, oh, you're Wes's daughter. Well, what goes around comes around. Now when I'm in Israel, people come up to me and say, oh, you're Martha's father. And I don't mind one bit. I love it. I'm so honored to have Martha as my daughter. I'm so proud of her. And especially the strength she's demonstrated during these very difficult times. But I have to tell one little story on her, and then we'll get into the scripture. Dads always have to do this to their daughters, you know. Her mother was in the backyard hanging up clothes. Martha came running out of the house carrying a banana. And mother was very busy, you know, with the laundry hanging up and everything. And Martha said, mother, peel my banana. Well, mom didn't pay any attention because she was busy working. So Martha raised her voice a little more and said, mother, please peel my banana. Again, she didn't get any response from mom. So kind of out of desperation, I think she was between 3 and 5 years of age, she said, mother, in Jesus' name, peel my banana. Well, she got her banana peeled. She sure did. Praise the Lord. We have a man in our church. His name's Jerry Detweiler. He has challenged me so much. He's a retired math teacher. And he just happened to mention to me one time how he reads the Bible. Now, we all have our own styles of studying the Scripture. What he does is he reads a verse, then he goes back and he rereads it. Then he goes back and he rereads it. And he doesn't move forward until he's read that verse 50 to 60 times. So when I heard that, I thought, I need to slow down and really study the Word. Well, I also, in a garage sale, picked up a Bible. It looked brand new. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was the paraphrased Living Bible. Found out that it's the New Living Translation. And that's the one I'm going to be reading out of today. But I have slowed down, and in slowing down, I've kind of felt like the Bible is a multi-layered chess game. It's the Word of God. It is absolutely amazing. So I'm in Jeremiah now, but I just finished the book of Isaiah, and I did something I've never done before, is I went back to every verse that I had underlined, and I typed them up. And that's what I'm going to read to you this morning without much comment at all. I believe the Word of God can do tremendous things in our hearts and in our lives. I'm not going to read the whole book of Isaiah, so don't get nervous. It's just going to be some of the passages that really blessed me. Before we get into it, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for being willing to come to this earth to humble Yourself, to die on the cross, to shed Your blood, that we might have eternal life, to raise from the dead, and to promise us that You will be back again. Holy Spirit, we just invite You now to come and do with Your Word anything that is needed in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord told me very clearly not to interrupt this with giving you the address of every verse. If you want to know where it is, you can go back yourself and read the book of Isaiah. So I'm not going to be giving you like verse, chapter, verse. I'm just going to read it as I type the verses up. And I know you'll be blessed because I've been very, very blessed as I've meditated myself on these. So just kick back, relax, and let the Word of God come into your hearts. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can oppose what I do. No one can reverse my actions. I will make springs in the desert so that my chosen people can be refreshed. Return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free. I am the one who exposes the false prophets as liars by causing events to happen that are contrary to their predictions. I called you by name when you did not know me. All the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am the one who sends good times and bad times. All the millions of stars are at my command. I will gather you and your children from the east and west and from north and south. I will bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. All who claim me as their God will come, for I have made them for my glory. Everyone will see this miracle and understand that it is the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, who did it. The joy of the Lord will fill you to overflowing. I created you and have cared for you since before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Do not forget the things I have done throughout history. For I am God, I alone. I am God and there's no one else like me. Only I can tell you what is going to happen even before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. What a God! I have said that I would do it, and I will. I am ready to set things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. I have called you back from the ends of the earth so you can serve me. For I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Anyone who opposes you will die. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? I went on Google and tried to find out the weight of the earth, and there were so many zeros I couldn't even pronounce it. Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed out the mountains and the hills? The heavens above will melt away and disappear like a rolled up scroll. The stars will fall from the sky. You will see Zion as a place of worship and celebration. We've witnessed that this morning. Though the Lord is great and lives in heaven, He will make Jerusalem His home of justice and righteousness. The Lord Almighty will hover over Jerusalem as a bird hovers around its nest. He will defend and save the city. He will pass over it and rescue it. The people of God will sing a song of joy like the songs at the holy festivals. You will be filled with joy as when a flutist... I saw someone playing the flute back there this morning. As when a flutist leads a group of pilgrims to Jerusalem. The Lord has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. He has closed the eyes of your prophets and visionaries. All these future events are a sealed book to them. The Lord Almighty will come against them with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and storm and consuming fire. All the nations fighting against Jerusalem will vanish like a dream. I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. It is a firm, a tested and precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never run away again. Israel will bud and blossom and fill the whole earth with her fruit. The time will come when the Lord will gather them together one by one like hand-picked grain. Listen to them as they sing to the Lord from the ends of the earth. But the Lord will have mercy on the descendants of Jacob. Israel will be His special people once again. He will bring them back to settle once again in their own land, and people from many different nations will come and join them there. Israel will rule its enemies. Israel will again be great, and its people will rejoice as people rejoice at harvest time. They will shout with joy like warriors dividing the plunder, for God will break the chains that bind His people. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. Do you question what I do? I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands I stretched out the heavens. All the millions of stars are at my command. Now I will tell you new things. Things I have not mentioned before. Secrets you have not yet heard. They are brand new, not things from the past. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Anyone been there? I alone am God, the first and the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth. The palm of my right hand spread out the heavens above. I spoke and they came into being. The Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good and leads you along the paths you should follow. Oh, that you had listened to my commands! Then you would have had peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness rolling like waves. Yet, even now, be free from your captivity. Sing as you go. Shout to the ends of the earth and the Lord that the Lord has redeemed His servants, the people of Israel. He divided the rock and water gushed out for them to drink. But there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. And then I inserted a couple sentences from the book of Jeremiah here. I don't know why I did that, but I did it. The Lord called me from my birth. From within the womb He called me by name. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Think about that. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my spokesman to the world. You will bring me glory. My work all seems so useless. We're back in Isaiah now. You ever been there? My work all seems so useless. Even Isaiah, great prophet of God, was a human like we are. My work all seems so useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all. Now, notice the progression here. From utter despair, then he starts saying some good things. Yet, I leave it all in the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward. He formed me in my mother's womb and commissioned me to bring His people of Israel back to Him. You see the strength building again from almost utter despair to this. My God has given me strength. You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. You will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Now there's a vision, people. You will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Kings will stand at attention when you pass by. At just the right time, I will respond to you. Have you noticed? At just the right time, God responds to us. I will reestablish the land of Israel and reassign it to its own people again. Say to the prisoners of darkness. Now, this is something right out of the Word of God that we are supposed to say to the prisoners of darkness. And here it is. Come out, I am giving you freedom. Even as we sit here in this assembly, there are principalities and powers listening to what's going on, even right here. And I would like you to repeat this after me as a congregation. We'll say it twice. Come out, I'm giving you freedom. On three. One, two, three. Come out, I'm giving you freedom. One more time. Come out, I'm giving you freedom. I like to tear down strongholds of the enemy, don't you? For the Lord in His mercy will lead them beside cool waters. My people will return from far away. The Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on them in their sorrow. Can a mother forget her nursing child? See, I have written your name on my hand. Your descendants will come back. All your children will come back to you. Any parent here today with backslidden children? All your children will come back to you. As surely as I live, says the Lord, they will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. Those who wait for me will never be put to shame. I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. All the world will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. You went away as captives because of your sins. Was I too weak to save you? Is that why the house is silent and empty when I come home? Is it because I have no power to rescue? No, that's not the reason, for I can speak to the sea and make it dry. I can turn rivers into deserts covered with dying fish. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. The best way to wake up in the morning before you swing your feet out and touch the floor is, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do with me today. Morning by morning, He wakens me and opens my understanding to His will. I have set my face like a stone, determined to do His will. The Sovereign Lord is on my side. Trust in the Lord and rely on your God. I will rule the nations. The skies will disappear like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a piece of clothing. My salvation lasts forever. Cherish my law in your hearts. Do not be afraid of people's scorn or their slanderous talk. Are you not the same today, the one who dried up the sea? Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return to Jerusalem, singing songs of everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be overcome with joy and gladness. When my wife died of cancer 12 and a half years ago, I knew I would never be happy again. But I have experienced joy and gladness from the Lord. It's amazing what He can do. My name is being blasphemed all day long. I don't know what it's like here, but in the United States, even the Christians have picked up on this shallow trivia phrase. They got it from Hollywood, I'm sure. Oh my God. You hear that all the time. I don't mind hearing it from unsaved people, but I sure don't like hearing it from God's people. My name is being blasphemed all day long. But I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. Sing, O childless woman. Break forth into loud and joyful song. The woman who could bear no children now has more than all the other women. Enlarge your house. Build an addition, for you will soon be bursting at the seams, because your Creator will be your husband. The Almighty is His name, the God of all the earth. He has called you back from your grief. My covenant of blessing will never be broken. Your enemies will always be defeated because I am on your side. No weapon turned against you will succeed. My thoughts are completely different from yours. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. The early church must surely have known this, because they stood up and read entire books of the Bible. In my country, sometimes we're lucky to get a verse in an hour and a half. Do what is right and good, for I am coming soon to rescue you. Here we go, folks. My blessings are for Gentiles too, when they commit themselves to the Lord. Do not let them think that I consider them second-class citizens. I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. My temple, and that's one of the themes of this church, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The godly often die before their time. We were so shocked when Phil passed away. The godly often die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For the godly who die will rest in peace. Darkness as black as night will cover all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord will shine over you. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. Your coming would make the nations tremble. I am creating new heavens and a new earth, so wonderful that no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Can you imagine that? You will forget about the planet Earth and the heavens as we know them. I will answer them before they even call to me. I'm sure a lot of you have had that happen. While they are still talking to me about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. And you stand there and you say, who is this God? Who is this God? I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts, who tremble at my word. I can see what they are doing and I know what they are thinking. So I will gather all peoples together and they will see my glory. To all the lands beyond the sea that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory, they will declare my glory to the nations. All humanity will come to worship me. Some Christians are so frazzled by the fact that there's 1.8 billion Muslims in the world. What does God say? All humanity will come to worship me. Hold on to that. Because I love Zion, because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. In this very well known passage from Isaiah 63, with hints of Jesus' first and second coming. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes, marching in the greatness of his strength? It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. It is I, the Lord, who is mighty to save. Why are your clothes so red, as if you have been treading out grapes? I have trodden the winepress alone. No one was there to help me. We're going to go from Isaiah now to a few verses in Zechariah, beginning in chapter 12. This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This message is from the Lord who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth and formed the spirit within humans. I will make Jerusalem and Judah like an intoxicating drink to all the nearby nations that send their armies to besiege Jerusalem. On that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone, a burden for the world. None of the nations who try to lift it will escape unscathed. On that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. I will watch over the people of Judah, but I will blind the horses of her enemies. And the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord Almighty, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a brazier that sets a woodpile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations right and left, while the people living in Jerusalem remain secure. The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first, before Jerusalem, so that the people of Jerusalem and the royal line of David will not have greater honor than the rest of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David, and the royal descendants will be like God, like the angel of the Lord, who goes before them. Now, you want to know what the will of God is? I have people ask me, what's the will of God? You find it right here, Zechariah 12:9. My plan is to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And then we come to a passage, I'm sure you are all acquainted with Romans chapter 11, where God says that blindness in part has come to the Jews, but then there's coming a day, Romans 11:26, when all Israel will be saved. These next few verses here in Zechariah, beginning in 12:10. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer. I don't know about you, but I like to pray the Bible. I like to pray the Word of God. Because you can never go wrong agreeing with God. Never can go wrong. Lord Jesus, pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on all the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced. When that spirit of grace and prayer is poured out, I believe corporately and as a nation, this country will recognize that they missed the Messiah 2,000 years ago. The Scripture says, they will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. I watched Mr. Berg sitting by the dead body of his son, and I could feel his mourning as he sat there and realized in the memories that his son is now in heaven. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the grievous mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will weep in profound, profound sorrow. Each family by itself, with the husbands and wives in separate groups. The family of David will mourn, along with the family of Nathan, the family of Levi, the family of Shimei. Each of the surviving families from Judah will mourn separately, husbands and wives apart. I'm going to read two verses in chapter 13, the first two verses. Zechariah 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and defilement. And on that day, says the Lord Almighty, I will get rid of every trace of idol worship throughout the land, so that even the names of the idols will be forgotten. I will remove from the land all false prophets and the unclean spirits that inspire them. And then the last part I'm going to read here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Watch. We know that we're to watch and pray. Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming, when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. On that day, I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. Quick question. I'm not going to teach here, but just a quick question I'll throw out to you. What is it that Israel might do that would provoke all the nations of the earth to come against her? That's what's going to happen. I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses plundered, the women raped. Half the population will be taken away into captivity. Half will be left among the ruins of the city. We can look back in history and see these things have happened. But prophecy is like mountains beyond mountains. One can be fulfilled and then another time and another time and another time. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as He has fought in times past. Just read your Bible. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. I'm sure we've all contemplated His return, standing there, seeing the Mount of Olives. I was so surprised the first time I came here and saw that the Mount of Olives was so close. You just go down the valley and there you are. On that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And why did I title this, "Who is this God?" Look what's going to happen. The Mount of Olives will split apart, making a wide valley running from east to west. Half the mountain will move toward the north and half toward the south. You will flee through this valley, for it will reach across to Azal, some place out in the desert. Yes, you will flee as you did from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all His holy ones with Him. On that day the sources of light will no longer shine, yet there will be continuous day. Only the Lord knows how this could happen. There will be no normal day and night, for at evening time it will still be light. On that day life-giving waters will flow out from Jerusalem, half toward the Dead Sea and half toward the Mediterranean, flowing continuously both in summer and in winter. And the Lord will be King over all the earth. A few closing verses from the Psalms, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Chuck. Psalm 99:2. The Lord sits in majesty in Jerusalem, supreme above all the nations. Psalm 130, verse 8. He Himself will free Israel from every kind of sin. Psalm 10, 16b. Let those who worship other gods be swept from the land. Psalm 29, 9b. In His temple, everyone shouts, "Glory." Well, if that's true, let's do it. Glory! Again? Glory! How about the third time? Glory! In His temple, everyone shouts glory. Passion for your house burns within me. Psalm 71:18. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Psalm 78, 5-7. He issues His decree to Jacob. He gave His law to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children. This is what's happened. This is how you and I know the gospel. It's been passed down. So each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Psalm 80, verse 14 hit me this week. Come back, we beg you, O God Almighty. Can I say that again? Come back, we beg you, O God Almighty. And the last one from Psalm 24, 7-10, King James Version. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Let's just bow our heads before Pastor Chuck comes. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Wes. Wes rightly said that this is a congregation for all peoples, as it's written out in the foyer, a house of prayer for all nations. And what we're about here in this city, and for many years and many generations from this corner, we've been wanting to declare that the fountain of the house of David is open for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins is open for one and all to come and to be cleansed from sin and unrighteousness. So that's what we're about. That's what we're here for. That's what we declare with sensitivity, but yet with boldness and with faith. And we know that the Lord is causing those that are ready to believe to come and receive from that fountain. One thing we don't know is the timing of all these scriptures. And we know God will fulfill the scripture and His word will be vindicated. And He'll receive all the glory. I remember as a little boy, my grandfather's church, he'd have different teachers come in with charts that would fill up most of the wall here. And it was very interesting. And I was blessed as a kid, I guess. And just the different scenarios and the different... Wes hasn't put a date on any of these scriptures, but we know His word will be fulfilled, and we're just too anxious to hear that the word of the Lord come and be made alive for us here today in our hearts and lives. And so we trust that His word will be has been a blessing to you. And that if there's anyone here who has not yet opened up his heart and life to that fountain, you have an opportunity to do that now. And ask the Lord to come and forgive and make you a child of God. And there's the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. And that's available to each and every one of us today. On both sides of the fence, the Lord has called us to be faithful witnesses to all the peoples of the land, regardless of background, language, or culture.